type the word water in a search engine, and you can scroll through pages and pages and pages of inspirational quotes, reflections, and stories about water. It becomes clear quite quickly that water is vital for all forms of life, and water is probably the centerpiece for all of life. Water is a big deal. Scrolling through what others say about water can be quite deep. Just a few quotes to swim in. Water is a driving force of nature. Da Vinci. Individually, we are a drop. Together, we are an ocean. Satoru. Nothing is softer or more flexible than water, yet nothing can resist it. Sue. The fall of dropping water wears away the stone. Lucretius. A Slovakian proverb reads, pure water is the world's first and foremost medicine. And Alex Z. Moore says, I believe that water is the closest thing to God we have here on earth. During my childhood years, I have ingrained many memories of water in my brain. When I was quite young, my family lived in town. My grandpa, who was a farmer, had empty stock tanks sitting around, so my dad and mom decided that we needed a heavy-duty swimming pool in the form of a stock tank. If you have never seen a stock tank, it's sturdy, it has high sides, it's round, and it's perfect for a swimming pool. We loved swimming in our backyard. My brother and I would swim for hours in this old thing, sometimes giving our puppies a swim with us. And our favorite snack way back then was to eat Oreo cookies in our stock tank while floating in the water. What we found was that Oreo cookies dipped in delightfully dirty pool water made the Oreos taste even better. Yum, yum. It's kind of gross to think about. At the age of 9, we moved to our family farm in Yoder, Kansas. Water in the form of a rainstorm was always a wonderful gift that could cause a quick halt to farm routines and outdoor work, allowing for time to get out of the hot sun and dry wind to rest until the storm passed. Still today, I love rainstorms and showers. My childhood bestie, Wanda Wise, now Wanda Monicum, grew up on a catfish farm 2 miles north of the farm that I grew up on. Her family farm had allotted for 8 to 10 small ponds and a large sand pit full of water. Oh, the fun that multiple bodies of water created for kids. We had unlimited fishing rights in the summer, and in the winter, all the neighborhood kids would convene for ice skating. We would have races, mock weddings, and practice our pirouettes, all while trying to balance on skates. Of course, summertime swimming and floating in the sand pit was my favorite water activity. In my teenage years, helping my dad move irrigation pipes was a big deal and necessary task for crops to grow given the hot, dry winds of Kansas. This was back before we had a pivot irrigation system. You know, the tall ones that you see in the Midwest that are pipes and sprinklers on wheels that have a center point while the pipes and the wheels move automatically in a circle to douse the crops. Instead of that nifty system, we used long, straight pipes that had handles. No wheels or motors for automatic movement. We had to pick up the sections of the pipe, walk with a systematic timing, holding the long pipes off the ground with handles, and moving the pipe to a new spot that hadn't been irrigated. Once at this new spot, the pipe was connected. It's kind of hard to imagine, but if you think about pipes with handles, and moving them across a field, and then setting them down and getting the right angle to pop them together. And you would move these, you would walk these pipes across acres and acres of fields. This job was done early in the morning, often just as the sun was rising, and once the pipes were placed and set, watering could begin. This labor-intensive job helped the crops to get a drink. Today, as an adult, I still have images and experiences with water that cause me to pause, with the realization that water is an incredible liquid that we so often take for granted. This plant was given to me by my cousin on Mother's Day this past May. It was gorgeous. Bright orange-red petals that caused this pot to look full and overflowing with blooms. A couple days after receiving this plant, when I checked on it, it had completely wilted. All the strong stems holding up the weight of the big, luscious flowers were dangling towards the ground. No lie. This plant completely laid over and all of them were just dangling. Unbelievable, I thought, and so irresponsible of me. I felt the soil and it was dry, dry, dry. I quickly got the hose and watered this plant, not having much hope that it would continue to live given my lack of consideration and its apparent state. Hours later, when I checked on this plant, lo and behold, the stems were upright with towering blooms. Not quite as beautiful as before, but certainly strong and alive. The power of water. Today is the last Sunday of our summer Come to the Water series. I decided to return to the 23rd Psalm, as these scriptures have been a constant for me as someone who has grown up hearing this passage read over and over again. We may equate this coming to the water with a Christian experience, or as a way to commune with God. Coming to the water may feel safe for some, but for others it may not, given the Christian constructs of a system that may feel guided by clear-cut principles or guidelines. I acknowledge this and want to offer a slightly different context. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. I rest in fields of green grass and am led to quiet pools of fresh water. I am given new strength and guided in the right paths. Even if I go through the darkest, the deepest darkness, I will not be afraid, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff protect me as you have prepared a banquet for me. You welcome me as an honored guest and fill my cup to the brim. Your goodness and love will be with me all of my life. So practically speaking, how can we come to the water? Do we need to plan a day trip to Michigan Dunes? Float down the Elkhart River? Walk around Fiddler Pond? I truly believe that coming to the water can be simple and attainable. Anywhere and anytime, if we are mindful and attentive. Skills I'm continuing to practice. The times we are living in are difficult, strange, hard, complicated, and we may feel overwhelmed, overworked, stressed out, and unsettled. This is where I believe we need to think out of the box and come up with some alternative ways to come to the water. Here I offer a few suggestions. Just breathe. As a special education teacher, I make visuals to help create understanding. So I thought we would breathe together. If you can see this, it has a flower on this side and a cake with candles on this side. So we're gonna breathe. We're gonna smell the flowers and we're gonna blow out the candles. And we're gonna close our eyes. And we'll do it a couple times together, and then you can do it a couple times on your own. Okay, smell the flowers and blow out the candles. Smell the flowers and blow out the candles. come to the water through breathing. An odd thing that brings me comfort before heading off to my classroom in the early morning hours is taking a shower in the dark, no lights allowed. This darkness, along with the cleansing properties of the water and a spray of eucalyptus oil, act as a sacred space. As I move from my night sleep into a job that carries a lot of movement, stress, and joy. So come to the water through a dark shower and maybe a little eucalyptus spray. With the daily stresses and potential anxiety that comes with living a full life, I've worked hard to find the little miracles that, if not attending carefully, could be passed off as the mundane. These little miracles could come in the form of a hummingbird at a bird feeder, gathering chicken eggs from a nest box, watching the changing colors of the season, planting a seed, a bulb, or a plant, and then watching it grow, or noticing the smells that are produced by the rain, the flowers of the milkweed, or the early morning air. Come to the water through small daily miracles. Food preparation and meal making has always been a joy of mine. I have become much more mindful and attentive to the ingredients that I use, the color and textures of food, the presentation, as food is the nourishing substance of healthy bodies. Then, being able to share meals with others is a delight of mine. Not many things make me more happy. At a meal I prepared for a friend not long ago, my friend said a simple prayer of thanks. God, thank you for love made edible. Thank you for love made edible. What a spin on love. Come to the water through food and fellowship. Prayer time for me is the most sacred and holy when I sit in the dark with a lit candle. There's a theme of darkness, I don't know what that's about. This almost feels like the darkness and the power of the candlelight can hold tightly the hardest and most painful things, or my joys and thankfulness. Come to the water through prayer and the light of a small flame. Brené Brown believes that connection with others gives us purpose and meaning in life. She states that connection with others is why we are here, and vulnerability is the key factor in connectedness. In her years of study and research, she found that individuals who had strong sense of self and worthiness were those she coined wholehearted. She defined individuals with wholeheartedness as individuals who were courageous enough to tell their imperfect story, individuals who were compassionate, treating themselves and others with kindness, and individuals with who were in connection with others as a result of authenticity. The biggest research surprise to Brené Brown was that those individuals coined as wholehearted believed that what made them vulnerable made them beautiful, that vulnerability is necessary, and that vulnerability is the birthplace of creativity, belonging, love, and joy. Come to the water through connection with others and vulnerability. Figuratively and metaphorically, I believe that we can come to the water anytime and anywhere. As we contemplate this in our own lives, may we all find and rest in fields of green grass and be led to quiet pools of fresh water. And when we find ourselves thirsty and parched and not able to hold ourselves up, like my Mother's Day plant, may we find the courage and strength to search for sacred water for renewal. And maybe, just maybe, water is the closest thing to God that we have here on earth. In closing, I want to once again read the poem by Mary Oliver entitled mornings at Blackwater Pond. For years, every morning I drank from Blackwater Pond. It was flavored with oak leaves and also, no doubt, the feet of ducks. And always it assuaged me from the dry bowl of the very far past. What I want to say is that the past is the past, and the present is what your life is. And you are capable of choosing what that will be, darling citizen. So, come to the pond, or the river of your imagination, or the harbor of your longing, and put your lips to the world and live your life.